Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
It is a new year. It's a good to be here this morning to worship our Lord and Savior in this new year. And it's good to see everybody's smiling face this morning. That's the cue. You're supposed to smile. Are there any announcements this morning? Bob's bringing it. Let's get the microphone up here for you. John.
I would just want to highlight something. It's in the newsletter, and I'm not sure if it's in the bulletin or not, but it is in the bulletin. The renewal meetings, Pastor Tim Deering from Parker Ford Church is going to be here, and he had suggested a few things to look at the book of Acts in preparation for renewal. Renewal will be February 23rd to the 26th. And he also suggested a book that's a devotional book, and I can't remember the title. Dare to Journey, and we have a sign-up sheet in the narthex that you can put your name on if you'd like to get a copy of the book. We're going to get them from JOY. The price is $12.99. You might be able to find it cheaper if you look, but if we get more than 10 copies, they'll give us, I think, a 10% discount, and we would pass that on to you. So sign up if you want a copy of the book. Jamie also mentioned earlier about the exercise class that'll be downstairs. It's supposed to start tomorrow. I guess that's dependent on the weather. If it's too slippery, stay home. But if not, come.
Thanks, John. Are there other announcements for this morning? I'm not seeing any. Let's shift gears then, and let's share prayer concerns, joys, or concerns.
I noticed in this morning's paper that Dave Dorsey passed away, and so I'd ask for prayers for his family.
Okay. If you have a joy or a concern you'd like to share, just raise your hand, and Bob will make sure you get the microphone.
I think you have all heard of Lainey Brown. She passed away on December 25th at 3:10 in the morning. Let's just send prayers to her family.
Thank you. Any others? Pastor Bob, you have any you want to share from the first service? Any prayer concerns or joys or concerns? Okay. Are you leading the call to worship? I believe. Okay.
I think so. Welcome. Good to see all of you frozen chosen. I don't know who arranged the warm reception when we returned from Florida. When I returned from Florida, actually Carol's still there. I didn't marry any dummy, I'll tell you. It was 79 when I left, and it was 4 when I got home. So we only lost 75 degrees in the deal, so that's okay. But it's great to be back. And I love this song. I'm a Jesus freak. I was part of that movement back when I was a hippie. And did I do something here? And I'm proud to say I'm still a Jesus freak today.
I believe in Jesus. I believe He is the Son of God. I believe he died and rose again. I believe he paid for us all. And I believe that he's here now, standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive. I believe in you, Lord. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose again. I believe you paid for us all. And I believe that you're here now, standing in our midst, here with the power to heal now, and the grace to forgive, and the grace to
Let's turn to our words of praise this morning. When someone turns to the Lord, they begin to see everything more clearly. For the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Because we can see things more clearly, we are able to reflect God's glory more visibly. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him, as we are changed into His glorious image. I'm going to ask you to remain seated while we sing our hymn, Have Thine Own Way, hymn number 504. That way we can enter into a time of prayer right away. Thank you.
Let's pray together. God, my first prayer is that when we sing, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord," that it wouldn't simply be a nice song that we sing, but that it would be a conviction, the conviction of our hearts. That as we begin this new year, we won't begin with some frivolous resolutions, but we will begin this year by saying, "Lord, have your way in my life. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Help me to be unapologetically for you. Help me be a kingdom seeker, one who seeks first the kingdom. Help me to live with Jesus at the center of my life and not just part of the periphery, part of the framing. Lord, that's my prayer for me. It's my prayer for us, that we would get serious, more serious, about pursuing you and pursuing your will for our lives and your will for our church. And as we seek a new pastoral leadership, that we would fall on our faces before you and we say, "Lord, send us a man or woman of God." Who would lead us to become all that you've called and created us to be. Thanks, Lord, that we can come and intercede on behalf of many. Our prayer list, if we were to print it all, we couldn't fit it in the space of this bulletin, even if we left all the worship off. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be a part of each other's lives through our prayers. And so we want to pray for Tim Reinhardt, who's went into the hospital last night and, Lord, really needs a touch of healing from you. And Gerhardt was in the early service this morning, and we're so grateful to see him. But he's anticipating surgery, and pray that you would prepare him for that. We pray for the Reinhardt's neighbors, Esther, who has pneumonia, and her son Daniel, who is going to have surgery tomorrow. And we pray for Dorothy Renninger, who has a number of medical needs and complications, and pray that you would be with her and bring healing and wholeness to her. We pray for Jean Lingle, who's in the hospital in Good Samaritan. We pray for Chris Tobias, who continues to struggle with cancer, and pray that you'd be with him and put a touch of healing on him. We pray for Glenn's mom and dad, Russell and Betty Regal, who have become residents at Stone Ridge, and we're grateful for that, and pray that you would be with them, and pray that that could be a great experience. We celebrate with Pam that she'll be going to Nigeria in about a week and a half to spend some time together with Tessa and to work over there. And we just pray for journey mercies for her. Pray that she would have a rich experience. Pray that she would come home in some ways renewed and invigorated and revived and ready to get busy-er. We pray for little Kaylin, 4 weeks old, who's having some respiratory problems and other issues. Bring healing and wholeness to her. We've been praying for the little brown girl, and pray that you would continue to be with her family in her passing, that you'd give them hope. We thank you for the life of Dave Dorsey, who's had some impact on this community, where he was a member of this congregation, and also through his translation work in the a New Living Translation, he's had some impact around the world. We thank you for his life. Be with his family as they grieve his loss. And there's so many others. We just take a moment now to silently lift up the names, circumstances of others before you, because we believe that you're able to hear our prayers, and you want to respond to our prayers. And so we lift up some others to you just now. Lord, we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
This week, as I was driving home in a snowstorm from work, I came across this song on the radio, and I'd like you to all turn to hymn number 545. Just turn to that with me. Pam, would you give us I think it's G sharp, correct me if I'm wrong. 545. Sing with me.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my mind.
I listened to that song on the radio. It's a popular one, we all know it. And it got me to thinking about the new year. Got me to thinking about what are some goals that I have for the new year. It's always a time when we start a new budget in the church. We start new things are always happening. And one of the exercises I had the youth do this morning in Sunday school was, what are your goals for today, for this week, for this month, for the year? And even have them go out to 5 years and then for their lifetime. It was interesting to hear what some of those goals were that our youth have. Anything from one saying he wants to rule the world to another one saying it's her goal in life to ride a giraffe. But then there's more serious goals in there. And I got to looking at these words, and thou my best thought by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. I thought, wow, it's a new year. Let's take God into the new year with us. And I challenged all the youth this morning that whatever their goals are, that God's a part of them. And like I said, we start a new year out here, I think it can be a good year if we keep God with us. Let's pray. Father, we come before you in this new year. We come before you worshiping you. We come before you turning our thoughts to you. And as we take this morning offering to continue to do your work in the church, we pray that our thoughts might be to what goals we have the coming year, but most importantly, that whatever those goals might be, that you are a part of them. That you are our leader, our guidance, and that your presence might be our light. Amen. Scripture reading this morning is from the book of Romans, the first chapter, verses 16 and 17. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Pastor Bob.
I am not ashamed of the gospel. Those seven words can change our lives if we really believe them, if we walk in them, if we live into them. And we see that expressed in the life of the Apostle Paul, who led a shameful life before encountering Jesus on the road to Damascus. And from then on, Paul began to live for Jesus. And he lived in a way that no longer brought shame to his life. Now, why did Paul make that statement in the negative? I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why didn't he say, I am thrilled with the good news of Jesus Christ? Well, that was kind of an ancient Jewish language tradition to state the positive by expressing it in the negative. You find that in the Ten Commandments. Rather than saying, you should really live life to its fullest, it's thou shalt not kill. Or, you should be a generous person. You should give yourself away to others. Thou shalt not steal. You should share freely with your neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's stuff. The BSV. Bob's Standard Version. I don't like that, though. Begins with BS. No. The new living, the really new living, Bob's. No, never mind. Yeah. So that was kind of a Jewish linguistic style in that day, to make a positive statement, but to state it in the negative. And what Paul's really saying is, I am thrilled with the good news that I've discovered since the day that I began walking with Jesus. I'm thrilled! Well, Paul says it is the very power of God unto salvation. And what I want to talk about for the next few minutes, and I warn you, I didn't preach last Sunday, so I got at least two sermons in there, okay? Poor Carol. When she's around, she takes the brunt of my lack of preaching by hearing preaching throughout the week. But she's in Florida, so she's safe. I want to talk about the need for you and I to rediscover the power that comes with living full out with a sense of being thrilled by the good news that Jesus has brought into our lives. And the first thing that we need to do if we're gonna reignite that the very power unto salvation is that we need to remember who we are and whose we are. Because we so easily forget. We are so forgetful. We hold on to sort of negative kinds of things. You know, I can vividly remember the day that my dad told me I wasn't driving the red Datsun for a month. But my dad said a lot of really neat things to me that somehow I've forgotten all about, you know? And I'm not sure what it is about our wiring that makes us more, that makes us hold on to sometimes the negatives rather than the positives. But that's true. And if you have even an ounce of German blood in you, it's even worse, you know? We're kind of a stoic sort of a lot. But we need to remember who we are and whose we are. And you find throughout the scriptures that there were times of significant renewal among the people of God when they were forced to remember who they were and remember the great things that God had done in their lives. One of those times I was talking about in the early service when probably one of the most wicked, if not the most wicked king of Israel, actually of Judah, was Manasseh. And the irony of that is that he was the son of one of the best kings. He was the son of King Hezekiah. And after the reign of King Manasseh, wickedness was always compared to him. You know, the rest of the kings, they said, well, now he wasn't quite as wicked as Manasseh, but he was pretty bad. And then his son Amon was not much better. And then Amon's son Josiah became king when he was 8 years old. And when he was 18 years old, he asked Hilkiah, a priest, if he'd go in and kind of clean the temple, because the temple under Manasseh and Amon had become a filthy place. And I'm not talking just dust. But they made a residence within the temple proper for temple prostitutes, male prostitutes, and they brought in an altar to Baal, and they brought in a place to worship Asherah. And I mean, it was a filthy place spiritually. And so young Josiah asked Hilkiah to clean up the temple. And when he was cleaning it up, he found a Bible. And Josiah read the Bible, and he saw how his people had been neglecting the Lord their God. And they entered into a time of revival, a time of renewal, simply by remembering whose they were, how God had acted in their lives. And if you and I are going to walk in the power of the resurrection, if we are going to be empowered by the good news of Jesus Christ, we need to remember what the good news is all about. I was just thinking as I was driving here today about the things that Jesus said that I absolutely love. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I will never leave you nor forsake. I could go on and on and on. In fact, John concludes his rendering the gospel by saying that if everything that Jesus said and did was to be recorded, there wouldn't be enough paper to fill it all up. That's good news. That's awfully good news. You know, like you, I've been disappointed by my friends. I've been disappointed by, you know, when the Datsun was taken away from me, I actually didn't do it. Isn't that funny how when the police pull you over, it's often, though you broke that law, though you went over the speed limit 100 other times, that particular time, you were not breaking the speed limit, you know? And I don't know if I told you this story before, but in 1965, my dad bought a bright red Datsun. They don't call them Datsuns anymore. It's Nissan Motors. And it was the only red Datsun for quite some time. And my dad was at a gas station, and this guy got kind of violent with my dad for cutting him off. And my dad knew he didn't cut him off, and there was only one other red Datsun in town. And so obviously it was me. And so I had my driving privileges taken for a year, for a month. It seemed like a year. And just toward the end of that month, I saw the other red Datsun. And then another. And then another. And then another. So that was kind of disappointing that my dad, some stranger approached my dad, and he took the word of a complete stranger and didn't believe his own son. That was disappointing to me. And I've been disappointed by my sisters, who used to sit on me and make me giggle till I couldn't breathe, who used to put, when I was 3 years old, night crawlers down my pockets so I'd run around with my hands in the air, you know? Yet we've all been disappointed by people who say they love us. Now, honestly, the disappointment that I have from the things that friends and family have done to me is not nearly as much as the disappointment that I have in myself for some of the stupid things that I've done. I've done some of the most knuckleheaded things over the years. And when I think back on that, I feel a profound sense of disappointment in myself. But I have never, ever, ever once been disappointed in Jesus. Jesus has always fulfilled the promises that he made in my life. And I've never been disappointed by it. That's good news. That's good news. And we need to remember the good news of Jesus. Now, one of the problems that we have is what I call the law of spiritual thermodynamics. The second law of thermodynamics is the law of entropy. That systems, if given enough time and not given any aid from the outside, will always collapse. And so that's why the day that we're born, we start dying. Systems always entropy, always move toward disorder rather than order. And that's true spiritually as well. That love grows cold. That faith becomes stale. That hope diminishes. That joy turns sour. That convictions get watered down. That commitments begin to waver. Without some additional working at renewing our commitment and our faith and our joy, those things succumb to what I call the spiritual law of thermodynamics. And so, not only do we need to remember who we are and whose we are in Jesus, but we also need to celebrate who we are in Jesus. As I was driving here in the car this morning, Pam talked in the early service about how excited she is to go to Nigeria. And for some reason, I had Nigeria on my mind when I was on my way here. And I had this visual picture, almost like a videotape in my head, of offering at a typical Nigerian service where people get out of their seats and they dance to the altar to put their offering in. And I was thinking, man, we need to do that at Little Swatara. In fact, next Sunday, I'm bringing my dancing shoes. Okay? I'm just warning you straight up right now. In the early service, I also threatened to come wearing a tutu, but I want to make a public disclaimer on that right now. And I think you'll be very happy that I have a speed. I used to swim laps when I was about 40 pounds lighter, and I still have my Speedo from then. And I always get a reaction from my kids when I threaten to get out my Speedo and put it on. You know, no, Dad, no! Yeah, we need to celebrate. Jamie Buckingham, I can't remember the book that he wrote that I had in my library for years until somebody was interested in it, and I gave it away. But it was a story of a collection of just funny and touching stories before the whole series of what's that for your soul soup, chicken soup for your soul. It was 20 years before that whole series came out. It was just really funny stories, and I remember one story. I might have even shared it with you. It was a true story. He was in the Philippines, on the island of Luzon, and someone told him this story that there was a fellow who lived on in this little village on the island of Luzon, and he was working in Manila, and he became a Christian in Manila, and then eventually he made enough money to go back to his home village, and he started telling his friends and his family about Jesus, and he started a church. And so they had a church there for about 10 years, and it was just based on this fellow who had come to Christ and had attended a few worship services. And he started to worry. He said, you know, we probably aren't a real church here, because I mean, we just get together and all we do is we study the scriptures and we sing, and I'm sure we're not a real church. I've got to go back and find out what those folks are doing. And so he went back to Manila and hung out with friends in the church that had been started by missionaries. They came back. He said, "We are doing everything wrong. We don't even have announcements." And so they all decided that the next Sunday they were going to have announcements. And I mean, nobody had an idea what announcements were, you know, but they knew they were going to have announcements. And so people were sitting on the edge of their benches just waiting for announcements. And then this fellow who had kind of become the pastor by default, he said, "It is now time for announcements." And everybody just sat there eager to hear announcements. And he said, "Jesus Christ is Lord." And the place erupted, roared with applause with this announcement that Jesus Christ is Lord. Man, that's good news. Jesus Christ is Lord. And we need to celebrate that. We need to be reminded of who we are and of whose we are. And we need to celebrate who we are and whose we are. It's good news. I read somewhere a statement like, I love this. You know, that on any given Sunday, and you check me out on this, one of the hymns that will be sung in the worship service is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." It's just, I'll be surprised if you don't hear that at every worship service that you go to. So take notes, okay? And they just love this whole idea of a God who can be a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. And I saw this quote on somebody's blog just a couple of days ago. See if I can remember it. It says, "A friend is someone who knows the song in your heart and sings it to you when you forget the words." Isn't that beautiful? And that's the kind of friend we have in Jesus. He knows the song in our hearts and sings it to us when we forget the words. Listen, we need to remember who we are. We're the good news people. And we need to rejoice. We need to celebrate the good news. We need to sing that song. And we ought to dance too. Yeah. Catherine, you'll dance with me, won't you? Shall we dance? Dun, 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 dun. Shall we dance? What's that from? It's one of those musicals. Flower drum song? Or is it King and I? King and I. That'll preach. The King and I. Shall we dance? Come on. Hey, work with me a little bit, okay? We need to remember who we are. We need to celebrate who we are in Christ. that we are not ashamed of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ. It, everything that we have that is worth anything is tied to the good news of Jesus. We need to also participate in the good news. And I read the foreword to another book that I'm going to be reading, entitled Daughters of Hope, written by K. Marshall Strom. And she began touring the world and interviewing Christian women and recording their stories. And Daughters of Hope is a collection of the stories that she recorded, because she was aware that most of the victims of war in the world, 80% of them, are women and children, and most of the victims of sexual slave trade are women, and so on and so forth. And yet, in China, the majority of the membership of this burgeoning church in China are women. There are, 20 years ago, there were 25 years ago, there were about 1 million Christians in China. There are in excess of 200 million Christians in China. And many of these house churches are led by women. And so she was going around collecting all these stories. And she kept hearing the same thing over and over again. She said, "Yeah, we appreciate our Christian brothers and sisters in America. We appreciate the missionaries that you sent to us to tell us about Jesus. But we have a concern about you. That you all just want to kind of sit around and expect God to kind of lay the good news on you. And we've discovered here that you've got to go out and invest your life in the lives of those who are hurting and those who are hungry and in order to experience good news in the midst of the hurts of others." And I think there's a lot of truth to that. That the Apostle Paul, the only glimpse that we get of Paul singing and praying was where? In prison. Yeah. And we find him being rejected and stoned and, smuggled out of Berea. And in the midst of all of that, he said, "For me to live is Christ. To die is gain." And so he was able to experience good news as he poured his life into others, particularly into the sufferings of others. And somehow we've gotten the impression that if we just come to church on Sunday and sit around and sing, "Have thine own way, Lord," that God will just come and dump a bundle of joy on us. And it just it simply doesn't work that way. And the sisters that Kay interviewed around the world, in India and in Africa and in Morocco and in other places, they all said, we experience the joy of the Lord as we participate in the sufferings of others. And I think that's something that we need to rediscover as we remember and rejoice in the Lord. Well, there's one final thing that we need to do, and that is we need to practice good news. We need to practice the good news. We need to do our scales. We need to do our good news arpeggios. We need to do our good news vocalese. We need to practice the dance steps, of dancing the good news, of celebrating the good news, because practice makes perfect. And if we're not willing to practice being good news people, we'll miss so much. And I want to leave you with this challenge this morning. Another book that is on my list to read is a book entitled A Complaint-Free World. A Complaint-Free World by, I think his name is Will Bowen. And Will is a pastor in Kansas City. And in 2009, he, as a kind of a New Year's, a challenge for the new year, he challenged folks in his congregation to try to go 21 days without complaining or criticizing or gossiping. And he had these purple bracelets made up. And everyone who was willing to make this commitment needed to wear a purple bracelet, because the purple bracelet was a reminder that if you catch yourself complaining or criticizing or gossiping, you had to take the bracelet and put it on the other wrist. And then you start the 21 days all over again on that day. And then the next day, when you find yourself complaining again, you switch the purple bracelet to the other wrist, and then you start the count on that day. And somebody asked him, he said, well, if we see somebody else complaining, can we tell them? He said, yes, and then they'll have to switch the bracelet, but then you'll have to switch your bracelet for complaining about them. Well, this had a profound effect, not all at once. It took most people who made the commitment, and not everybody in the congregation made the commitment, but it took most people who made the commitment between 4 and 8 months to put together 21 complaint-free days. But those people who did, it revolutionized their lives. They began to see blessings that were always there. They just never saw them because they were always complaining and criticizing and gossiping. And isn't it true that we just have that kind of orientation? Carl Little was a member of the Meadow Branch congregation where I was pastor a number of years ago. And the front door of our meeting house hung on the hinges. And every Sunday I heard, when are they going to fix this door? And Carl, who was a carpenter, decided one week he was going to fix his door because he was tired of hearing people complain about it. 3 months later, he made us aware in the congregational business meeting not a single person, that he'd fixed the door 3 months previously, and not a single person had noticed that the door was fixed. Everybody noticed and griped about the door when it was hanging on the hinges. Nobody, myself included. We just tend to like to gripe and complain and, you know, Egypt. Why did this Moses take us out of Egypt? I mean, it was pretty bad back there, but at least we had water to drink, you know? I want to challenge us. And this next Sunday, I'm going to show up with purple bracelets. Well, actually, probably not purple, because in Sunday school class, John Wise complained that he wanted red. I love that idea. Oh, I didn't finish the story. He began to collect these stories of transformation, the transformation that took place in the lives of people who were able to string together 21 days free of criticism, complaint, gossip, stories of renewal. And he wrote a book entitled A Complaint-Free World. And that little church in Kansas City has now given out 5 million purple bracelets. Now, I know you're complaining already. Where are we going to get the money for 5 million purple bracelets? Next Sunday, I'm going to show up with purple bracelets, and I want you to pray. A purple or red, I don't know. And I want you to pray about whether or not you'd like to try to make that commitment. I'm on it. I've got to get free of that, just that tendency that we all have of just sort of noticing the negatives rather than the positives. I want to remember who I am in Christ. I want to live in the realm of that first flow of grace into my life when I sensed that I was set free. I want to live there more often. I want to revisit that place. I want to sing the song that you've forgotten the words to, Gary. I want to put on my dancing shoes. I want to go to where hurting people are and help them to discover good news in the midst of their heartache. I want to practice being a good news pastor. And I think the only way to do that is to divorce myself from bad news of criticizing and complaining and gossiping and that stuff that, I mean, I don't have an overwhelming problem with that stuff, but it, you know, I mean, I hang around you folks, and so I'm sorry. You want to make the commitment? Pray about it this week. And let's get serious. See if we can start a little complaint-free spot on planet Earth right here and watch the fire spread to the community. Let's pray. God, thank you that we are a good news people. Thank you for reminding us of who Jesus is, what he has done in our lives, and the work, the glorious work that is yet to be done. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. That's good news. Help us to sing and dance, celebrate the good news. Help us to look for persons who need good news and to go and walk with them in their hurting, in their weakness, and be a part of bringing good news into their lives. Help us to put to practice being a good news people. Lord, this is my prayer for my people in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise to our feet and sing our closing hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend. A friend who knows the song in each of our hearts and is delighted to sing that song to us when we've forgotten the words. We need to remember and rejoice and walk in and practice being a good news people. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people said, Amen.